Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Joe Kraut Subs podcast. Today I will be reading an interview with Bojan Svjatichinin for Slovenian newspaper Delo, originally published on the 24th of December 2023. The original article was written by Lucien Zalokar for Delo and photos were provided by Jože Suchadolnik. I met up with Bojan Svjatichinin in Ljubljana's Stegne industrial zone, where the members of the popular pop rock, in their jargon, shagadelic rock and roll group Joke Out, created a rehearsal space for themselves 2 years ago. Quote, "Lately, we've been on the road a lot, but this is still a great second home. If only you knew about the parties that happened here. There were 50 people dancing downstairs." He proudly looked from a small gallery towards the space that measures approximately 30 square metres. Even though the clock had just struck 3 in the afternoon, the 24-year-old Ljubljana resident had a long day behind him, which had been entirely dedicated to media obligations. In journalistic circles, we often hear indignation about how modern-day influencers, especially those who had gained their influence on social media, have no books on their shelves. Joke Out are first and foremost musicians, of course, but with 150,000 followers, brackets, Bojan's personal profile has 190,000, on Instagram, we can count them among the big Slovenian influencers, and there are plenty of books on their shelves. I don't want to falsely portray the popular fivesome as enlightened donors to the Slovenian literary market. Most of the books resemble those you can buy for little money in second-hand bookshops, or even get for free as library write-offs, but they still deserve praise for both the aesthetic sense and the content. I also don't want to falsely portray the books as the only notable objects in the rehearsal space. There are also the golden plate for the Eurovision single Carpe Diem, which got over 2 million streams in Finland, a transfusion bag, RH-, that Tomi Meglich, Svjatichinin's biggest teenage idol, personally brought to them, and a small shop's worth of props given to them by fans. Pillows with hand-embroidered patterns, plushies, bras with Instagram accounts written on them, various sweets. You could even find a vinyl from a Soviet cover band of the Beatles. If things continue like that, they soon won't have any space left for instruments, but those are just sweet worries. Joker Out, who were formed in 2016, are currently conquering Europe in a way that the Slovenian music scene has never seen before. Note from Joker Out subs. Tomi Meglic is the frontman of Siddhartha, whose third album was called RH-. Interviewer. I've heard that you approach your job with the utmost professionalism and that you wake up at 5 in the morning for media obligations. Bojan. That's true. Today we started early in the morning in Maribor. The first few hours were the most tiring because we were constantly changing locations and driving around the city. After the third or fourth activity, we relaxed a little because we got to the studio. After that, everyone started coming to us instead of the other way around. Interviewer. Slovenian cinemas have started playing the movie Kaj pa Ester, in which you play a boy who enrolled in high school just to get close to his ex-girlfriend again. Did you have any problems with trying to get into the high school mentality? Bojan. We filmed the movie 2 years ago when my memories of high school were much more fresh than they are today. But on the other hand, I played a boy who had just finished the 9th grade of primary school, so I had to put myself into the shoes of a primary school kid, which is much harder. We're also pretty different, personality-wise, but almost the entire cast was around the same age, so too old. We joked about that a lot during filming. Interviewer. Still, that's nothing unusual in the movie world. Bojan. Of course. There are 35-year-olds starring in High School Musical and no one's complaining. Interviewer. Could you draw any parallels between a musical stage performance and filming a movie? You have to play a kind of role during a concert too. Bojan, I have to admit that it's completely different. On stage, I never feel like I'm performing. Of course, I am actually performing, but I'm still in the role of myself, Bojan. Whereas in the movie, I'm someone completely different. It might be easier to compare filming a movie with recording music in the studio, but there are big differences there as well. The biggest one is that for a movie, the director has the main and final say. You have to trust him. When you film a scene, you don't even see what you filmed for a long time. The movie in which I play one of the main roles will be played in cinemas, and I don't even know what I'll look like on the big screen. It's different with music because us authors listen to the songs 100 times, 1,000 times. We're the ones who make all the final decisions. That's quite a mental leap, but I didn't have too many problems with it because I know the previous projects of that team. Udvoje, brackets in a tandem, is my favourite Slovenian TV series. On the other hand, I needed time to get used to this new method of working. If I asked to see the scene we'd filmed one more time, but the director said it was good, we kept filming without hesitation. Interviewer: You said that on stage you were always in the role of yourself. Does the nature of that role change from concert to concert, and what influences it? The audience, the outfit? Boyan: The outfit has an influence, for sure, more than I initially thought. Lately we've been playing with our stage look a lot and looking for the right combination. I currently find that the outfit suits me very well. It's just the shoes that bother me because they're too rigid. I have to change them. They're huge and massive, which makes me feel like I'm clumsily marching around the stage. Whereas during rehearsals I wear sneakers and I'm therefore a lot more in the mood for dancing. Interviewer: What about the language you sing in? Many people say that they feel as if by switching between different languages, they are also switching between their personalities. Boyan: I agree. When you change the language, your voice has a different colour and register. You come up with different jokes than in your mother tongue. If I lead a concert in Slovenian, Serbian or English, I'm a different dude every time. This is also influenced by my notion that each time I'm performing for a different group of people who are connected by a certain mentality. In Slovenia, I'm performing as a local for locals, and I feel like there are different game rules than, for example, in Croatia or Serbia. Elsewhere, I feel like I don't even think about this. Interviewer: How did you get the idea to start creating and singing in English? You already broke through internationally with Slovenian. Boyan: Us creating in foreign languages isn't so much a result of wanting to break through internationally, and the mentality is that only English ensures global success. If we thought that way, we wouldn't have gone to Eurovision with a Slovenian song. We're primarily driven by a desire to learn new things, to push the boundaries. In the studio, it's similar to being on the stage. If you change the language, you're not only a different person on stage, but also inside your head. Your creativity is different. Playing with languages is actually also playing with your own creativity, because you enter a different space, a different mentality. The song Sunny Side of London could not have been made if we hadn't mentally transported ourselves to an English-speaking space. We want many more projects like that, not necessarily in English. Interviewer: Can you be more specific? What kind of mentality do you associate Sunny Side of London with? Boyan: That song is a sort of homage to all the people who have suddenly become part of our story. Sunny Side of London has nothing to do with London as such. I was looking for a name of a well-known place with which to name all our concerts, and I decided on London. The first time I said the words, "Are you guys real? Is this really happening? Are you really here and singing our songs?" on the stage, certain English phrases snuck into my mind. What the hell is going on? And so on. We also experienced, for the first time, foreigners coming up to us and talking about their own experiences connected to our music. This was something completely new for us. We listened to all those stories in English, as our fans of course can't speak Slovenian, even though they can sing our Slovenian lyrics. Sunny Side of London therefore emerged as a collection of all the experiences and stories that fans told us after gigs. Interviewer: You've already touched on fans who sing your lyrics by heart from Finland to Spain. Could you highlight the nation with the best ear for the Slovenian language? Boyan: On the latest tour, when we visited Lithuania, Poland, Czechia and Croatia, there were moments where I felt like I was singing in Slovenia. In Prague, I filmed the audience singing Omazni Misli without me, as if I were in Križanka, for example. But it's even more fascinating that people sing well in England and the Nordic countries too. It's understandable that our Slavic brothers have the best ear for Slovenian, but Northerners aren't far off either. Interviewer: How much of your international success do you attribute to the Eurovision performance? Boyan: A huge amount. Interviewer: If you had to express it as a percentage? Boyan: 99.9. Interviewer: Really? Boyan: Definitely. It was an incredible catapult. Whenever I ask the audience at our international concerts if anyone was already with us before Eurovision, a few hands shoot up every time, but those are rare exceptions. Interviewer: How do you explain the fact that you finished in the relatively humble 21st place in Liverpool, but your visibility still grew in leaps and bounds? Boyan: We were very, very, very dedicated to the Eurovision project. We put a lot of time and energy into demonstrating to the people who were open to it that we weren't just a 3-minute performance, but very much an existing band that has made many songs and that lives on stage. With time, and of course in connection with the Eurovision performance, more and more listeners got to know that. We clearly showed them, we're here, we're real, try it, connect with us. Because they had so much different content available, this actually happened. I think it was also because they saw that Joker Out really was made out of five completely regular dudes from Slovenia who live a totally normal life, and at the same time we make music and have a great time doing it. That is already a slight deviation from what's been happening recently, when we're being bombarded from all sides by messages that we need to distance ourselves from each other, that we have to hate each other. Interviewer: that was the sociologist in you talking. Boyan: that's true. The atmosphere in society nowadays is such that it emphasises individuality more than building a team. Young people, however, need and want to be part of a community, and we offered them that chance. Interviewer: where does your interest in social sciences come from? Your father is a gynaecologist, your mother a paediatrician, and you have a degree in sociology. Boyan: I had a very good professor in high school. If you wanted to listen to him, he offered a lot of knowledge. Even though sociologists often think about society in an abstract way, the subject always felt tangible to me. I recognised it in very concrete life situations that I was trying to understand. At my final exams, I did a great job with sociology with very little effort, and then made a mistake and enrolled in economics. I wavered between the two options from the start, and in the end, what tipped the scales were the warnings of many people. I knew that sociology doesn't have good employment prospects. I gave in to the pressure, and very quickly realised that I'd made the wrong decision. I gave up on economics after the first semester. That was when I seriously threw myself into the band. We made Gola, and then I transferred to sociology and there was happiness all around. Interviewer: you clearly won't work as a sociologist for a while yet, if ever. Boyan: but I am a sociologist. Interviewer: in your soul? Boyan: no, as my profession. Us musicians are sociologists. A lot of sociological terms could be easily transferred into our environment. Lokal, for example. In third year, the professor asked me several times, well, Svitichinin, if you have a concert, is that Lokal or something else? And I said it was Lokal and started rambling on. Brackets, laughter. Interviewer: so you're a singing sociologist? Boyan: exactly. Interviewer: how do you explain the success of Joker Out from a sociological point of view? How do your songs address the zeitgeist? Boyan: I write the lyrics exclusively based on stories that really happened, not necessarily to me, but to people I love. Therefore, I have a strong emotional relationship with the subject matter. My opinion is that there will always be people who will connect with the story if it's real, because it's easiest for us to connect with real emotions. Our songs are love songs. They talk about finding yourself and personal growth. Some are socially critical. I think that I've managed to find the right balance between being direct and being poetic. Interviewer: I'll word it differently. The Beatles already sang about love and personal growth, and they weren't the first ones by far. Later on, those same themes were covered by hundreds of successful bands and an infinite number of slightly less successful ones. Boyan: I think that nowadays we most often associate societal changes with technological development. Technological advances largely dictate the rhythm of our life. But those advances are mostly just a substitute for something that had already existed in the past. The basic emotions have therefore certainly stayed the same: love, fear, hatred. I think that the use of language is very important here. Even though the emotions don't change, the way we put them into words does. In music too, I don't sing about a topic the same way my peers would have in the 1970s. Consequentially, our relationship with emotions is changing and evolving as well. As if our entire society is gravitating towards the point of holding the belief that it's better for an individual to feel less and less, and in a more and more censored way. On the one hand, excessive use of social media and other media causes us to feel like distinct individuals. On the other hand, it connects us to a world and places us into a very wide picture. In every moment, we're only a click away from becoming cosmopolitan and being able to access all the information, events, and people. But at the same time, that's exactly what reminds us that we are a small and actually not very important dot on this planet. The magnitude of everything that's constantly available to us makes us feel small. I think that we mostly listen to, watch and use those who manage to poke the spot that unnerves people the most in this context. If performers manage to break through the firewall of someone's VPN, then those people will also show their interest in an analogue way. Otherwise, they will only be a swipe away. Interviewer: And now a question that's more psychological than sociological. Do you ever try to get into the heads of the people who time and time again show their interest in very analogue ways? Boyan, I have an infinite appreciation for their dedication because, for myself, I don't see the chance of a phenomenon exciting me so much that I would be ready to dedicate so much time and love to it. Interviewer, so you've never been a very hardcore fan? Boyan, if at 12 years old I had to highlight one musician that I would have wanted to meet more than anyone in the world, that would definitely have been Tommi Meglitsch. That hasn't changed to this day. The only difference is that we meet up with Tommy and we're friends. I still feel the highest possible level of respect for him. Every time he calls me, I'm extremely proud of myself. But I still cannot imagine going to, say, Berlin tomorrow if Siddhartha were playing there and I had a free day. I'd go to Maribor or Zagreb, but absolutely not across all of Europe the way the biggest fans do, not even at 12. I could sooner imagine at that age a football match rather than a concert would be the thing that excited me beyond all reason. Interviewer, we're probably talking about two groups of celebrities that get worshipped as deities by the masses in Western society, footballers and pop and rock musicians. And this is probably linked to emotions again. Boyan, true. The thing that wakes up a person's sense of smell, sight, and all other emotions that overcame them as a child is what has the best possibility of succeeding. Interviewer, now please explain how this is connected to football. Boyan, if I go to a concert by Siddhartha, Bigfoot Mama, Magnifico, I turn into a 10-year-old kid who will explode from happiness. There's no Boyan anymore, he gets lost. It's the same with football. When I watch it, I dream about how I played for Slovan as a kid, and what I wanted more than anything was to score a goal and for everyone in the stands to yell, "Yes!" Note from Joe Kraut Subs, Slovan is a football club from Ljubljana. Interviewer, you don't score goals, but you are in a similar position that Tommi Meglitsch used to be in. Boyan, all the band members come from very loving families that have always provided us with a very good support system and instilled basic values in us that we internalise deeply. That is why everything that's currently happening around us hasn't gone to our heads in a way that would make us think that we're bigger or more important than anyone else. If we started believing that we were kings because everyone was clapping for us and singing our songs, that would probably be a very strong feeling, but that simply wouldn't be us. We mostly love to see all the people because we know how much we mean to them and how much they mean to us. Without them, we wouldn't be able to focus on what's most important to us, our music. On the other hand, I can say with 1000% certainty that I would easily and happily do my job if I was performing at venues like Tsankaryo Dom, so in front of a calmer audience without unreal hype. But what I would like most in the world is to turn into a footballer for 10 seconds and score a goal at an important match. You know why? Because that's the biggest adrenaline hit that exists. When we perform on various stages, there's mayhem around us for 2 hours straight. But in football, when a goal is scored, that happens in a millisecond. You go from nothing into total chaos. Everyone loses their minds. I'd love to experience that. Well, I did, much like everyone who played football in primary school. When I scored a goal for Slovan and 100 people in the stands clapped for me, I felt like I was on Maracana. Imagine what it would be like to experience that on the real Maracana. Interviewer, it's interesting that you highlighted a loving and stable family background. Many of the biggest pop and rock stars in the world grew up in diametrically opposite environments. From John Lennon and Janis Joplin to Prince and Rihanna, there are actually so many of them that we can talk about a pattern. Boyan, I know, because I love to read their autobiographies, and I agree with your assessment that their family circumstances are fundamentally different than ours. That is always my answer to the question when someone wants to know how debauched our tours are. When I tell them that we mostly drink water and tea on the road, they just can't believe it. But it's the truth, because we've realised three things. First, we enjoy what we do immensely, and from the experiences of many musicians, we know that you can almost definitely forget about a long career if you start doing everything that we perceive as the proverbial rock and roll lifestyle. A band like that breaks up sooner or later, either because of frayed nerves or exploding egos, or because of money. Second, we've all had to go to work hungover, and we know very well that it's unbearable. I especially can't imagine how we could stay healthy and keep our strength and our voice if we were constantly hungover on the road. In that case, the only short-term solution is drugs, which we fortunately, brackets, knocks on wood, don't do. And third, I'm sure that you have a much better time on stage if you're aware that you're on it. Interviewer: Your international breakthrough doesn't have a precedent among Slovenian musicians. Would you dare to point out where the difference is, why you made it and not, for example, Siddhartha, who had filled Bežigrad Stadium and later did not hide their international ambitions? Bojan: We have to understand that Siddhartha didn't have the chance to perform at a festival like Eurovision. It's hard to understand what it means for 160 million people to watch you. That is a bizarrely huge number. All this happened in the time of social media, and we had set up a pretty good mechanism in that area even before Eurovision, and then also used it, whereas Siddhartha established itself as a band in the time of analogue media. I can't even imagine how it would have been possible to break through abroad from Slovenia at that time, because even we are already, even though some things have opened up for us very nicely and we've been joined by the right people, finding out how much of an investment going international demands. Dreams of megalomaniacal earnings and a luxurious life brought on by a European tour shatter quickly. Even when you start filling up venues, you stay in a kind of hustle mode, you fight. Unfortunately, the costs in the music business are so high that performing abroad is more or less just for promotion for a long time. Interviewer: You're probably thinking of logistical costs. Bojan: Yes. Some of my colleagues have total misconceptions about our earnings. They think that we're literally swimming in money, while actually we earn what amounts to a normal salary. Interviewer: In March next year, you will have 18 concerts. You'll start in Helsinki and end in Milan. How will you travel? Bojan: With a tour bus. We've rented it twice so far, for the UK tour and for the tour around Lithuania, Poland and Czechia. There are beds on it, so we can sleep while driving from one concert to the next. The tour bus is prohibitively expensive. You pay almost half of your royalties for it. But it's the only way for a musician with such a packed schedule to survive in the long run. Sometimes people ask me why we don't travel with a van instead, but you have to understand that we sometimes have concerts 2 days in a row and the venues are 800 kilometres apart. If we spent all night in an uncomfortable van, then looked for a hotel in the morning and so on, we might be able to endure it for a week, but definitely not all month. Interviewer: Do you ever sleep in a hotel? Bojan: Only on 3 days. Interviewer: Will the March tour be your most exhausting one so far? Bojan: It will definitely be one of the more exhausting ones, but I'm definitely happy that we'll be able to sleep on a tour bus. We haven't been on a month-long tour yet, so it's hard to predict anything, but on the Nordic tour this year, we played 6 concerts in 5 days because we had 2 concerts in 1 day in Helsinki. We didn't have a tour bus there, we flew instead. That meant that after the concert, we got to the hotel at midnight, then we had to be at the airport at 3 a.m. A few hours later, we were already at the new location. We napped for 2 hours on a couch, had a sound check, and then rinse and repeat for 5 days in a row. Interviewer: Let's not only talk about the negative side of tours. Bojan: Of course. I love sleeping on a bus. I fall asleep like a baby who's being taken for a walk in a stroller. I can't sleep more than 9 or 10 hours in my bed at home. On a tour bus, I can easily get 12 hours. Maybe it's because it's constantly shaking a little. The other guys also sleep very well on the road. But the most magical thing on tours is when I visit a city for the first time just because we have a gig there. That seems unimaginable to me. To meet new people, wonderful fans, to bond as a band, experience new funny situations, to bring home a bunch of new inside jokes and incredible gifts that fans have made themselves. Brackets points towards a hand-embroidered pillow in the part of the studio where they keep the gifts. Interviewer: Elite athletes often lament that it's true that they compete all over the world, but they often only see the airport, the hotel, and the sports venue. Bojan: It's similar for us. When we travel with a bus, we only see the venue. If we happen to have a free day, we walk around the city, but we definitely don't visit all kinds of tourist attractions, as some people might wrongly imagine. When we go to Paris, we definitely won't go to the Louvre. We will see the Eiffel Tower through the bus window if everything goes well. Interviewer: But you meet a lot of interesting people. Bojan: That's true. I find it the most fascinating if we meet fans when we don't expect them at all, in a restaurant, on a plane. When we were flying to Poland, it turned out that one of the flight attendants was a big fan of ours. She told us that she was going to three of our concerts and bought us champagne and a model of a locked Polish Airlines plane. I was even more surprised in Helsinki. I went to some kind of dark club that had a techno music party. Suddenly I was approached by three people, two guys and one girl, and they told me that they were our fans and that they couldn't believe that they met me in that club. I also couldn't believe people recognised me in the middle of Helsinki. What is going on? Interviewer: in the summer, you took a step back from Instagram for a while. What brought you to that decision? Bojan: many things. I felt creatively empty. I also, for the first time in my life, experienced the internet, not just Slovenian but global, being completely oversaturated with me. That started negatively pressuring me and eating me up. I thought about it a lot, and the first time I asked myself whether I'd be less Bojan Svjetichinin if I didn't have an Instagram profile, I turned it off. Immediately after that, I wrote three songs. I felt as if I had cleared up some of the mess that had built up recently. I returned to social media some time ago with much healthier habits than before, I think. Interviewer: how do you see social media? As a space for playfulness, for promotion, part of the job, part of private life? Bojan: I think that at the time when they started killing me, I perceived them too professionally. I had a feeling that Instagram was a platform through which I had to achieve all sorts of things. Lately, I prefer to joke around more. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Joker Out Subs podcast. The original translation can be found on our Tumblr under the name Joker Out Subs, and we're also on X, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram under the name Joker Out Subs.